Just the first verse and the chorus. Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. But then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Praise the Lord. This morning I would like to speak on the same thing I did with the children. With them we used pictures. I would like to look at scripture. And what really stood out to me as I reviewed the gospel accounts, all four gospels, about Jesus' appearances after the resurrection, is this critical issue of faith, this critical issue of doubt or faith, believing or unbelieving. So if you'll turn with me, let's go to Mark chapter 16. We'll look at several places in the Gospels, and I would like you to consider this issue of faith and believing. We'll start in verse 1 through 8. We have the account. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they went to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the door of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone was rolled back, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side dressed in a white robe, and they were amazed. And he said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had come upon them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. It's a beautiful account, and there are others in the other three Gospels. But I find the statement, "Tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you to Galilee," that Peter gets singled out because Peter had denied him three times. We have a joke among the musicians in Kairos, which is usually several guitar players and somebody playing drums and somebody playing some other instrument, maybe a keyboard. And it goes like this. It says, "What do you call a guy who hangs out with musicians?" And the answer is a drummer. So the drummers don't think it's funny. But I heard that first from a drummer. So I have a friend who I graduated high school with. I told that joke with, and he had a defensive reaction. So so you have to be careful who you tell your jokes to. But when it says, "Tell my disciples and Peter," it doesn't mean that Peter's not a disciple. It means that Peter, you are a disciple. And that's the message there. So they have this encounter, and then we read further in verse 9 to 11 and onward. Now, when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out 7 demons. She went and told them, those who had been with him, as they mourned and wept. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to 2 of them as they were walking into the country. They went back and told the rest, but they did not believe them. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they sat at table, and he upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And I find this very, very repeated in all of the accounts, this issue of, do you believe the witness that's given, or do you have unbelief? We see that it happens again in Luke's Gospel, if you'll turn there with me, Luke 24. In verses 1 through 9, the women have the encounter with the angels, and then they remembered his words, verse 8, remembering his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. There weren't just 11 people mourning Jesus' death. There were the 11 were the apostles, but there were other disciples as well. We see this in the book of Acts as well, that Jesus had many who followed him. So the word was taken back to them. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. So they mentioned 3 women, but it says other women who were with them. So there are multiple witnesses. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. So once again, there's witnesses. They tell what they've seen, and there's unbelief and reaction. Now, it's understandable that it's hard for us to believe that someone would rise from the dead. We understand that, especially even being a Christian, we believe in the resurrection. That's the central fact of our faith. But these were Jewish people at the beginning of Christendom, and the resurrection was not something that was expected, as it is among Christians, that there will be a resurrection. Now, the Jews had a belief of a resurrection at the end of the age, but someone be raised. But on the other hand, if you look at, they had been witnesses of Lazarus being raised from the dead, so they did have some reasoning that they could have said, well, you know, he raised Lazarus, God could have raised him. And the other thing I think is pretty obvious here is that they didn't believe them because they were women. And I think that God's displeased with that attitude, that, you know, I can't believe what a woman tells me. I don't know if that was pervasive or just a problem, but it probably was pervasive. It still happens today. So in verse 13, we have the story of the 2 traveling to Emmaus, and Jesus draws near to them and tells them, he acts like he doesn't know what's going on. He says, what things? And they say in verse 18, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days? He says, what things? They said to him, I think Jesus was trying to keep a straight face, you know, what things? I don't know if you've ever seen a movie where people are weeping around a casket because they believe somebody's died, but he really hasn't died, and he attends his own funeral and talks to the people. It was a little bit like that. And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now, they didn't say he was the Messiah. They've lost that hope because he died. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. That's past tense. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since it happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just like the women said, but we didn't see him. And Jesus said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? That word Christ is Messiah. The Messiah would suffer and enter into his glory. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, in all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so once again, we see an account of disbelief in reaction to the witness of witnesses. Now, they recognize him when he breaks bread in the next few verses. And it says in verse 32, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked to us on the road and he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 gathered together and those who were with them, who said, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. That's Peter. So Peter has a personal encounter with the risen Lord. And I believe we're not told what happened, but I am confident that that was Christ restoring Peter, taking all that guilt and shame, putting it aside, burying it as it belongs. And they told them what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. And as they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them. And they were startled and frightened and supposed they saw a spirit. He said to them, why are you troubled? Why does questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me. See, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see that I have. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, then it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Now, we know that Jesus explained what was going to happen before it happened. He told them, the Son of Man will be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and they will take him and crucify him, and on the third day he will rise again. And yet they couldn't wrap their head around that. They couldn't believe that. First off, they couldn't believe that he would be killed, and they couldn't believe that he would rise from the dead. And even after it happened, it was a work for them to believe all that Jesus had said. Now, in Jesus, Let's go to John. We're going to finish up quickly here. In John chapter 20, we have the encounter of Jesus with Thomas. Starting in verse 24, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." Another time of witnesses sharing with him. And he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your hand here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So there's so much I could go on about faith and believing, but let me just give some very short thoughts. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him." So without faith we can't please God. We also see that Abraham is commended for his faith, both in the matter of receiving Isaac and in the matter of offering up Isaac. Tremendous faith. It is my prayer that we would have faith, strong faith in our hearts. We would have faith for what God has spoken to us through the scriptures, what he has spoken to us individually. When we listen, we pray, and God gives us a word, we wouldn't let go of it. We would hold on to it. Famous saying is, never doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. So may we learn to be people who believe and receive the promises that God has for us. Let us not be people who are staggering in unbelief. Now, some of us have needs for healing. I was talking to a lady just the other day. She said we were exchanging prayer requests. And she said, "Well, pray for me. I have a bad kidney. But the Lord has spoken to me that he's going to heal it." And I was blessed by her faith. So she says, "I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm asking God for my healing. And he's told me he will." So let us grow strong in faith. God rewards faith. And unbelief blocks him. There's a verse in the Gospels that says that Jesus could not do any great works in his hometown because of their unbelief. And we don't want to block what God wants to do. May the Lord bless you all, and we can now have our sharing time.